WIOX is supported by NBT Bank, with locations in Margaretville, Grand Gorge, Hobart, Middleburg, Schoharie, Cobleskill, Cooperstown, Oneonta, and Windham, all with friendly local teams offering a wide range of products and digital tools designed to be easy to use to meet life's triumphs, changes, and challenges, from the smallest moments to the biggest milestones, with confidence. NBT Bank. Member FDIC. WIOX is supported by Grand Gorge Tire, family-owned and operated, and ready to serve your needs for new and used tires, including mounting, balancing, and anti-corrosive lubricant. Walk-in service welcomed Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. Grand Gorge Tire, Route 23, between Grand Gorge and Stamford, 607-588-4100. WIOX is supported by Pika Moose Restaurant on State Route 28 in Big Indian, with farm-to-table cuisine Thursday through Sunday. Indoor seating at a safe distance, outdoor seating on the garden deck, and the Pika Moose picnic lawn for takeout. PikaMoose.com or 845-254-6500. WIOX is supported by Qualteri's Nursery and Garden Center, wishing everyone warm wishes for the holiday season. Qualteri's has holiday plants and Christmas trees, swags and wreaths, roping and greens, and gift cards. Qualteri's Nursery and Garden Center, Route 30 in Roxbury. Open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. CDC COVID compliant. Taking holiday orders at 607-326-4282. 607-326-4282.
Hi, this is Arnie Schwartz, host of Talk of the Town. Alternate Tuesday evenings from 6 to 7 on WIOX, Roxbury. Serving New York's Catskill region at 91.3 FM, WIOXradio.org, and MTC Cable, Channel 20.
Okay, you are listening to WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and MTC Cable Channel 20, and everywhere at WIOXradio.org, where it's easy to donate if you like what you hear. You can also get WIOX on any smart device through the radio.fm app. This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. John, how's it going?
Things are good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. Getting out, doing some bow hunting.
Good. Finally.
Yeah.
Catching up, right?
Absolutely.
So, why'd you choose to not hunt the beginning of the season?
I don't like to hunt October as much anymore because the deer aren't moving as much, I find. And it's not that you can't land yourself a nice buck or a doe, but that when time is limited, which mine is, I try to concentrate on the first week of November or the last week of October, and it panned out. So
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Have you noticed all the ticks out lately?
Yeah, man. So I was skinning a buck that I got in the town of Woodstock over the weekend, and that thing was loaded with ticks.
Oh, my gosh. I've been out for many walks in the last few days. I just come back, and I'm covered, it seems like. Mostly deer ticks.
Oh, God, man. I mean, they're in my beard. They're in my hair. I had to do a complete tick check afterwards.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It's like considering bringing a change of clothes to work for, like, noontime. Like, yesterday, I was driving between jobs, not far, 20-minute drive, and I had them crawling, like, all up and down my neck. They're all over my pants.
Yeah, man. Anecdotally, it hasn't been that bad, right? Anecdotally, for most of the summer.
Yeah.
Early summer, I feel like, was worse.
It always is. I mean, like, May, late spring, mid-spring is usually, like, the biggest of the peaks. But I tell you what, I think this fall is a bigger peak than what the spring was. Spring and fall is usually when I see them.
It's in the 70s, man.
I know.
I mean, in some ways it's beautiful if you're just walking around, which I've been getting out just walking the kids around. But for hunting, you know, it's nice in that you don't have to bring much gear to the woods.
Yeah.
But right now, you know, it's warm. You got to process that deer, but the bucks are moving no matter what. They are chasing the gals around.
So last week's show was on venison. Now you got one in the warmth, so what'd you have to do?
I hung it, like we talked about, you talked about, for a day and a half. And, you know, and now I have it in coolers quartered up. So I'm doing a quarter a night.
Good.
And I'm just doing the neck and the two front shoulders. And then after that, I might take a little break and let it season even more in there.
Good. Yeah, I think you should.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm not in a rush now, but so that was good. Ate the inner loins, or the tenderloins, rather. The kids devoured them like a bunch of hyenas. Yeah. They're crazy. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they like that stuff. Jesus Christ.
Well, good. That's good.
And I like to take the inner loins and really sear the outside and then dip it into butter and maple syrup.
Dipping in maple syrup.
Yeah, just melted butter and a little maple syrup, salt. It's freaking awesome. I recommend it.
I'll have to try that. I've cooked squash with hollowed out the center and put butter and maple syrup in that.
Yeah.
And then that leaks onto my plate and gets on everything else. So I guess I have said something like that, but I'll have to try it.
I like maple syrup a lot, John. So
I
dipping
know.
Venison into it is damn good. Kids don't like it, though. They don't like sweets on their, like, foods. They only like it in the morning. They're like, oh, my God, you put maple syrup on popcorn? I'm like, yeah. Yes. They don't like that. Whatever. What? I like it on everything.
So what do they want on their popcorn? Nothing.
They want olive oil. That's it.
Olive oil?
The more olive oil, the better. You know, if it was swimming in olive oil, they'd be happy.
That's, or it's different.
Yeah. Yeah, we put olive oil. You don't put olive oil on popcorn?
I do, but I'm saying that's different as a kid. When I was a kid, I wasn't thinking about olive oil.
Well, we always got olive oil around, man.
Yeah, that's true.
It was, you know, Italian American things.
Yeah, no, I like to spice it up.
Yeah,
do a little olive oil and some Cajun seasoning on top.
I do too, but then no one else will eat it, and they want to eat some. Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. That's the way you keep them away. But other than that, so I've been hunting. That's good, and I'm waiting for the weather to break. I think the weather's going to get cooler when? Soon, right? It's going to break.
Yeah, and then like 4 or 5 days.
Okay, so not that soon.
Not that soon.
Okay.
I mean, I'm looking at nighttime lows, like getting real cool. It is going to get progressively cooler in the next 2 days.
Saving on wood.
I know. Julie was saying the other night at the house, like we had a solid week there where we were really burning wood. And now it's no way. Not even going to think about a fire.
I know it. So, hey, I don't complain.
I made a mistake the other day. It was it was chilly. We got home, and it was like 60-some degrees in the house, and nighttime low was going to hit 40, so I lit a good fire. Not a big fire, but
yeah.
I put three sticks in, not four or five, and that heat just carried into the next day. And coming home from work, it was the following day, it was still too hot in the house.
Yeah.
I baked everybody. It's not good.
Yeah. Happens. So it happens.
Mistakes happen. Once a year, you usually learn.
Yeah, absolutely. It happens. But so I was throwing out my food scraps the other night, and I heard something on the rock wall, and I just assumed it was a deer, because often it is. But a little different sound. And I looked, and lo and behold, it was a possum.
What did he do?
He walked away like a clumsy fool. They have like this gait they do when they walk away that we'll get into tonight. But that's tonight's show is all about possum, believe it or not.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
What a weird little guy, the possum. I like to do this once in a while. Just pick a random mammal or critter, whatever you want to call them, and just, you know, research them and go from there. So tonight is all about possum. And the Latin name is, I'll try to say this, is Didelphis virginiana. It's the only marsupial found in north of Mexico. So how about that? A marsupial is those, like a kangaroo would be a marsupial. They have a pouch, right? And as soon as they're born, the little guy, which is the size of a honeybee when they're born, goes right into that pouch and lactates and for a few weeks or whatever.
So it's like a secondary womb.
Yeah.
Grows and develops.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Yeah. So it's about the size of a domestic cat, and it's an opportunist. It eats about just about everything. And usually it's found in close proximity to humans where there is trash and whatnot. So you find these possums. But possum is derived from the Algonquin word called white animal, I guess. I did not know that. I just said the Didelphis virginiana, the Latin name. Di comes from the Greek word two, and Delphis means womb, so two wombs, hence marsupial. So there you go. And virginiana is Virginia, and its other common name is Virginia possum. So.
Yep. I get them in my chicken coop every now and then. They don't really do anything to the chickens, though, that I've found. They're just in there for the feed.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, if I don't close the door in time, maybe it's like 9 o'clock, and
yeah.
After dinner I've been inside, and so they've had a couple hours of darkness, and I'll walk in, and it's to the point that I make sure I shine my flashlight on the floor before I just go running into the coop for the eggs without the headlamp on.
Oh, yeah. I've
been surprised a few times to have something at my feet.
That's amazing. You know, I've never had anything like that in my coop.
Nothing, huh?
Nothing. It's weird.
I've had two since I've lived at this house, and we've only lived there less than a year.
Yeah. The only thing I've had in the coop one time was a, I don't know what kind of hawk it was. It was either, what's the two hawks we find all the time? Sharpshin or
Cooper's hawk?
Cooper's hawk. One of those guys. He was in the coop. And a bear.
And a
cub.
Bear.
Cub somehow got through there.
And they're killing chickens, so
yeah, they're killing chickens.
Glad I don't have
feed.
Those problems.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I've never had anything else in there. It could have been a, you know, I say that, but I think a fisher got in once. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Major destruction.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, they only usually kill a couple at a time from what I found, or you know. So, let's do the range. The range, Central America, north to Canada, and mostly east of the Great Lakes and Rocky Mountains, and began moving north from Central America as clearing occurred, or agriculture. They don't really do well in deep snow, as you might imagine.
Yeah, well, they have very short legs.
Yeah. Introduced to the West Coast, and according to Wikipedia, the consensus is that it happened during the Great Depression because of food source. I don't know. People were eating possum, I guess. A very easy animal to kill. They can't escape predation very well.
No.
So, yeah, if you're starving to death.
Pretty much just walk up and grab one if you wanted it.
Yeah, they can't get away very well. I guess the only other animal like that's a porcupine, but then you got to deal with the quills. So, back in the day, people just club a possum and call it a day.
Yep.
You know? And yeah.
I mean, I've kind of heard jokes about, what are you, raised on possums?
Well, to this day, it has a lot of, there's a folklore about, you know, more about people down south and stuff eating possum. And I don't know too many people eat possum up here.
No, I don't know anyone.
Yeah, but when I YouTubed it, yeah, all these southern guys were eating possum, showing you how to cook it and stuff. And Really? They swear by it.
Man, did they mention what it tastes like? There's always something to compare it to.
He said it had nice fat on it and stuff. I don't know. The guy who said how good it was, he's just grilling the whole thing on his grill.
Yep.
You know?
Hmm.
But it's looked down upon, you know? Not by me, but by other people.
I got a friend. He's a taxidermist. And he basically just eats everything people give him. A lot of people bring him stuff that's it's frozen. They don't want to skin it or anything, like a bobcat or or anything, small mammal-wise, just comes in frozen. So he claims it's good meat.
Yeah.
He tries everything that comes into the shop, so I got to ask him if he's ever done a possum. But, yeah, he ate bobcat recently.
Bobcat?
He told me about a woodchuck he ate recently.
Yeah, I would think woodchuck would be good.
Yeah.
Was it?
He said it was great.
What did he say? I said just that it was good.
He didn't compare it to anything.
I mean, he ate pretty good stuff, you know.
Yeah, I was just feeding on grass.
I don't know about bobcat, though, man.
Mountain lion hunters say mountain lion is, like, top delicacy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about coyote, though? I heard, I don't know.
I don't know about coyote.
Yeah.
I'll ask him some more.
Yeah.
We're going to have him on the show. Maybe he'll talk about just eating critters.
Yeah, why not? So, description of this animal. And a lot of people don't like the look of possum because they look like a big rat, really.
Yeah, well, they have a furless tail.
Yeah, which makes them why they're not in northern areas that much, because they also have hairless ears, and they're frostbit, you know, susceptible to being frostbit. Hmm. But they got beady eyes and a white face and a rat-like tail, so, you know, it's not the most attractive animal in the world, but I think they're kind of cool. Huh?
I said kind of ugly looking.
I used to chase them when I was in high school. I can admit this now without shame.
Oh, yeah?
Car would stop. Chase him!
Gets a possum.
Never handled it or anything, but you do a lot of stupid things when you're in high school.
You can catch up to them, though, pretty easy, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So northern possums are larger than the southern ones. It's that whole... What's that term called again? Where as you go north, mammals get bigger?
Yeah, I used to know this by heart. It's a rule named after someone's last name, whoever, you know, whatever.
Surface area. And
but basically it has to do with surface to volume ratios. And as you move north, animals of any species are typically bigger than their southern counterparts, even though they're the same species.
Yeah.
And that just has to do with holding in heat.
Yeah, white-tailed deer, the northern variety, is much bigger.
Yeah, well, it's even considered a subspecies now, but the...
key deer?
Well, key deer as well, they're very small, but also the one that's in Mexico and Arizona. Why can't I think of them?
Not blacktail, is it?
Not blacktail.
No, blacktail's in the northwest.
I will think of it.
Yeah.
Cow's deer.
Oh, okay.
Cow's deer, coos deer. There's an argument on how to pronounce it. But
yeah, I don't know how to say it. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Key deer is like, they're like miniature deer, man, in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're still white-tailed deer, but they're considered a subspecies now. I don't know.
Yeah. Cute little guys. So they're about 13 to 37 inches long. From their snout to the base of the tail. But the tail can be anywhere from 8 to 19 inches. So
what?
Yeah.
19 inches. I've never seen that.
I know. Males are about anywhere from 1.7 pounds, probably down south, to 14 pounds up north.
Yeah, the guy that was getting in my chicken coop, he was up there. He was in the 10, 12, maybe 14-pound range.
14 pounds is big.
He was huge.
Yeah.
He was round.
Porcupine and possum, man.
Yeah, well, I obviously didn't weigh him. I have no idea what he was.
I know, but that would, like, look big, you know?
He did look big.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He was huge.
The one I saw on the side of my property there was pretty big. I would say he was all 8 pounds or more, maybe 12. I don't know. It's tough to tell with their fur on.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to judge. Yeah. You're not, like, handling possums all the time, right?
No. They don't even see that many. Females can be anywhere from 8 ounces... to 8.2 pounds.
Wow.
So this makes that the most, out of all the mammals, they vary in weight more than any other.
Wow.
8 ounces.
I can't even imagine an 8-ounce possum. It's got to be the size of a kitten.
Oh, remember what I said before, when they're born, they're the size of a honeybee, supposedly. Right. It's kind of even hard to imagine. But it's like a mouse. No, it's a honeybee.
Much smaller than a mouse.
Actually, it's much smaller. What the hell are you talking about? Honeybee, size of a mouse. No, it's actually the size of a honeybee. But
I don't want to see a honeybee the size of a mouse.
Jesus. So the long hairless tail is pretty neat. It's used to grab things, grab up branches. They're actually way more arboreal, meaning climbing trees, than I originally thought. They'll climb up trees and dangle upside down and use their hands to eat stuff and whatnot.
Never seen that. Would like to, though. That's cool.
Yeah, I've never seen it either. Yeah, I wouldn't like to see it.
I've seen more woodchucks in trees than I have possums.
Might scare the crap out of me if I saw it at night and saw a shadow doing that. Because they're most active really late. This is probably why we don't see them. They're most active from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Now, I wonder why that is.
Predation?
Do the predators, since most predators are crepuscular, or meaning they're most active at dawn and dusk?
I would imagine so, because they're easy to kill.
Huh.
Only 1 out of 10 of the litter survives.
Yeah, okay.
Most of them die.
I guess that makes sense. So the predators have already eaten their fill by the time these guys are coming out.
Yeah. Other cool things about the possum. It's got 50 teeth, man. I think it's more than any other North American land animal.
Cool. That's a lot of teeth to fit in that little mouth.
50. Fitty. So opposable, also, this is another cool thing, opposable clawless thumbs on the rear legs. So they got, you know, like 5 digits, but they got claws on them, except for they got these opposable thumbs on their rear legs that have no claws.
Yeah, you could see their track in the snow real easy. I mean, it looks like just like our hands are. Our thumb comes out at a 90-degree angle to the rest of our digits, yeah. And same thing with them. You just see the stud sticking off the side.
Because that's the good. That's kind of the cool things. Now, here's the bad thing to say about a possum. Well, I mean, we already kind of called it a rat-faced creature. It's got a really small brain.
Oh?
Yeah, yeah. I was researching this. They say it has one of the lowest, here's a good word, encephalization quotient.
Yeah.
This is something you don't want, John.
Okay.
This is basically, you know, your brain to
body
size.
Ratio?
Yeah, something like that. And they have a fifth the size of a raccoon, but they have one of the lowest out of any mammal, so I don't know. Maybe it's dense. I don't know.
Well, is it maybe they're so intelligent they don't need all that wasted brain material. They've got just slimmed down to what they need.
Maybe. I don't know. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest, and tonight's topic is the possum.
Back his head, open up his cage.
you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is all about possum.
Go figure.
Possums, man. So, tracks, as John said, they're easy to identify by their opposable, clawless digit on the rear legs, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So, these guys have a pacing gait, which means the left front and the left rear move at the same time. So they kind of waddle almost.
Right.
They're kind of funny. Another animal that does that is, it's called a pacing gait. A raccoon, bear, skunk, badgers, and woodchuck do that. But when they run, it changes. But when they're just walking away from you, they'll, the two left go, the two right go, the two left. It looks kind of funny to me.
I think bears are hilarious to walk.
Yeah.
Watch walking away.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's that big rear end of theirs and just waddles.
Yeah, it looks clumsy almost.
But yeah, exactly. Clumsy and awkward.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so the tracks are pretty easy to look at. And they're not that big. The front prints are about, 2 inches by 2 inches wide. And the rear are about 2.5 by 2.5, so. But they can somehow manage to run up to 4.6 miles per hour. That's still not that fast.
No.
I can run way faster.
Not when you compare to what their predators can do.
No, I mean, if you can run a six-minute mile, that is 10 miles per hour, from what I remember. So that's not that fast.
Easy math.
All right? So just, so you could definitely catch a possum if you're starving to death.
Right.
So if you're a survivor man, the Catskills, I'm looking for possum.
Yeah, but you got to stay up late.
Yeah, you got to stay up late. Stay up what late. Else do you have to do?
Yeah. I guess. I don't know.
Well, they're pretty hard to find. I mean, yeah, like you said, you got to stay up late. And I don't know. You never find them in the big woods. They're always kind of near where people live, where there's like abandoned structures, abandoned farmland, junk. There's cover for them. They live in abandoned foundations and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can imagine they're tolerant to human scent, because you do find that they'd be living underneath that junk pile that maybe one of their predators species would be timid against.
Yeah, so. They climb trees, and that could be something, because you're not always looking up in trees. Mm. So maybe they're up there avoiding predators and getting at food. They use that tail to dangle. When threatened, they do one of two things. One, they either flee. The one that I saw going after my food scraps, he fled. I just walked away. Or they stand their ground. And this is kind of funny. So if they stand their ground, they're going to supposedly they show all 50 teeth. They snap its jaws. I've seen bears do that. Drool, I've seen bear do that. And bucks do this when they're trying to scare another one. The hair stands up on their body. On a buck, it would be on their neck. Makes them look bigger than they really are.
Yeah.
Or they play possum. So I guess this is the third.
Heard this?
Yeah, you've heard this. Play possum. They lie limp. Supposedly, this is totally involuntary. It's they're just so scared from fear that they literally just collapse. Their eyes are open. Their tongue is hanging out. And their feet are clenched, but they're out, man.
I want to see this.
I know.
Have you ever seen the videos of the fainting goats?
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of that. Same reaction.
This is, I've never seen this play possum, but it gets even more ridiculous. To add to their playing possum, a green fluid may come out of the anus to ward away predators because it supposedly really stinks. Huh. So,
a rotting bile.
Yeah, man.
Oof.
Jesus. Their heart rate drops. The breathing is barely detectable. So, man. It can last anywhere from 3 to 6 hours.
What?
Yeah. And playing possum, it wards away predators that want to eat fresher meat is the rationale. However, it doesn't work in traffic.
No.
And when they do that, they end up dead. And a lot of them do die.
Yeah.
From traffic.
Well, they didn't involve with cars, so.
Yeah, there is that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, the two that I've found in my chicken coop, both of them, I would say, did the stand their ground.
Yeah.
But they couldn't flee. I was standing in the doorway. And the one, he was pacing back and forth. He was trying to figure out where to go to get out. And the other one, he didn't get aggressive. He didn't show his teeth, but he was standing there watching me, seeing who was going to make the move.
Yeah. It's pretty neat.
Chickens were going nuts.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, rooster didn't like him.
Yeah, your rooster should have pounced on him, man. Jeez, you know? Yeah,
he was playing it safe with his girls up top.
I guess so. Habitat. So besides living in, right next to people, where do they live if there are no people around? Farmlands, wooded lowlands near water. I already said the residential areas. Hollow trees and logs. Abandoned dens, buildings, piles of rubbish, rocks, hay. They can also construct their own den using leaves or plant material. Remember, they have thumbs and a tail. They can grab stuff. So
cool.
They can manipulate vegetation.
So what would that look like? You probably wouldn't find one of those, but
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't know it if I saw it.
No. Not me neither. Diet. It's just about everything. Omnivores. You know, they eat fruits, grains, insects, snails, earthworms. Carrion, which is dead stuff. Snakes. Supposedly, they are resistant to snake venom. I don't know. I mean, the only poison snakes we have is, what, the copperhead timber rattlesnake. Birds, mice, other small animals, grasshoppers, crickets, and beetles. So grasshoppers, crickets, and beetles include most of the animal intake. Yep. They also eat a ton of meadow voles, mice, rats, birds, frogs. And they eat most of its plant food in the late summer, early fall, when it's available. Raspberries, blackberries, apples, acorns, beech nuts, and vegetables. I mean, you know, this is the same for a lot of mammals, like fox and coyote. They eat a lot of berries and stuff people don't realize.
Yeah, oh yeah, you see it in Coyote Scout pretty often.
So, the urban areas, though, they're eating a lot of food scraps, vegetable gardens, pet food, bird feeders.
Chicken feed.
John's chicken feed, you know. Now, here's the cool thing about possums. They can also eat up to 95% of ticks that they find.
That's what I've heard. I need my possums to come back this time of year.
Yeah. Supposedly, the research is that they can eat up to 5,000 ticks per season.
Sounds like a lot.
Sounds like a lot. I don't know. It's better than none.
Right.
Right? And their favorite food, I don't know if people know this, but is persimmons. So if you want to have less ticks, plant a persimmon, attract the possum, and he'll eat ticks.
I mean, how do they know that's his favorite? They can't interview him or anything. It's like, hey, man, like, what's your favorite thing to eat?
I don't know. But we can grow persimmons. I don't really like them that much. Do you like? I don't know. That's a weird – persimmon's a weird fruit.
I don't know if I've ever had one.
Yeah, they're okay. I don't know.
Some crafty orchard out there needs to – or nursery, rather, needs to just use that as a marketing campaign.
Like, what?
9 out of 10 possums prefer our percent.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I guess. People are always asking how to reduce ticks, you know. They're asking Catskill Forest Association when we're on consultation. So, I don't know. Put this in your hat of things to say.
Hey, better than guinea hens, in my opinion.
Guinea hens are annoying.
I guess guinea hens do a good job as well, but...
Yeah.
Holy cow. You got to be tolerant of noise.
Yeah, apparently chickens do too, but guinea hens are better, and maybe having a few possums around. I don't know.
Seals the deal.
I must have possums around. I'm always throwing food scraps out, so yeah. Feeding them. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., and tonight's topic is the possum. Side. You know, that song reminds me of, I never liked it when it first came out, but it was 2002 and I was stuck on the rifle range in Camp Lejeune when we got activated for Operation During Freedom, and they played it over and over again because it was popular then. I think it just came out, and it like grew on me because I just heard it so many damn times.
So then you took a break and then you liked it again later on?
Well, it just reminds me of then. I don't know. It's like, you know what else was popular then in 2002? It was a Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Over and over. It's amazing how if you listen to something enough times, it ends up growing on you.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, all right, I get it.
My roommate in college had Adele on vinyl. I kind of like Adele, actually. I heard it a lot.
Yeah, stuff grows if you hear it enough times. It's amazing how that happens sometimes. Yep. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. And tonight's topic is all about possum. Seasonal behavior of the possum. It's most active in the spring and summer, probably because it doesn't do as well in the winter. And it doesn't really hibernate, but it kind of remains in its den when the weather is inclement. But the hairless ears are prone to frostbite, as I was saying before. So this animal's not really a northern adapted animal or deep snow. It's most active, as I was saying before, between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m., so that's probably why you don't see them that much. However, we'd probably see them when we're, you know, coming home from somewhere late in college. You see a possum, you go chase it, you know what I'm saying here, John? It's 1 in the morning.
It's not something I got into.
No?
No.
Why can't you just admit it?
I haven't ever partake.
Some people do cow tipping. Some people chase possums. It's just, we didn't have cows because it's like forest. Farms are long gone, but we have possums. So you see what I'm saying here?
No, I get it.
Okay.
I'm bridging the gap of relation here.
All right. So, okay, here's another weird thing about the possum. So most mammals have like a home range. Like what's the home range of a deer, white-tailed deer, doe, female deer?
It might not be very far depending on the food source, food and cover, but a mile or two maybe.
Yeah, if that, right?
Bucks larger.
Bear could be, I don't know.
They say 10.
10 square miles?
Yep.
It's pretty big.
That's pretty large.
Yeah, and they kind of stay in that home range, you know? Like a porcupine is like, it could be an acre, right? It could be an acre.
Yeah.
Well, these guys don't even have home ranges.
They just keep wandering.
They just wander. This is what's weird. I mean, I think that's really strange. This mammal, he just kind of walks around looking for food, doesn't have a home range. It's a little weird.
He's nomadic.
Yeah. A strange animal. It's a weird animal.
Never saw that possum again in my chicken coop. He's there and then gone.
He moved on. Strange. So the reproduction. Breeding season of the possum is December through October. The young are born February through June. And the females, they can have 1 to 3 litters per year. Up to 8 to 9 infants per litter. And they can have upwards to 20 per litter.
Wow.
But only 1 out of 10 normally survives. So predation's a big deal. After they're born, they climb into the pouch and they lactate for about 2 months. And they remain there for about 2.5 months. And then they ride around on the mother's back when they're being transported. Magic possum ride.
You know, there's all these bucket list items you just want to witness in your life.
Yeah, no, I've never seen this. That'd be cool as hell to see, you know, some little possums on top of the female.
Yeah.
Both females and males are bifid. I don't know how to say that. B-I-F-I-D.
I think it's bifid.
Okay, bifid. And that means they have 2 vaginae, uteri, and ovaries, and the males have 2 heads. This is weird about the possum. Another weird thing about the possum.
What planet did they come from?
I don't know. Between this, the marsupial thing, the tails, the opposable thumbs, the hairless ears.
Too many teeth.
And the green fluid that exudes from its anus when it plays possum is weird animal.
Like I said, what planet did this get dropped off from?
Yeah, it's a weird animal for sure. You know, there is a season on possum. For like trapping, hunting.
Yeah, they're a fur bearer, I guess.
I think it's right now until, I think there's a hunting season on them. I think it's October through February, maybe. I was looking it up.
Well, what's the purpose? I mean, I guess to sell the fur.
I don't know. I
mean, but do they have any other value? Like, I suppose
I don't
know. To eat, right? I mean, some people enjoy eating them.
People eat squirrels. Now, squirrels have a good reputation as being tasty, but...
I eat squirrels.
Yeah, but geez, I mean, you know, not much meat. Squirrel.
No, but there's a meal on a squirrel.
Yeah?
Per person.
Did you go squirrel hunting this fall?
I have gone squirrel hunting this fall. I've gotten some.
Yeah, so how do you cook them?
Just like chicken wings. No different. Whatever your favorite chicken wing recipe is, do it like that, and it's no different. You just each quarter it up.
Quarter it up. It's a little...
Seriously. It takes 2 seconds to do. It's, you know, you don't have to hang it in your garage, put it in coolers for 9 days like the venison episode we had last
week. That's a little generous to say you're quartering it up.
Pretty much, yeah. But yeah, you quarter it up and treat each quarter like a chicken wing.
Yeah.
And cook it exactly the same as your favorite recipe and pick it off the bone with your teeth just like a chicken wing. Hot sauce and all.
It's another, you know, squirrels are really cool. I mean, that's another animal that we take for granted.
They're everywhere.
Until you, like, look at them, you're like, you know, they're pretty neat.
Yeah.
Climbing up and down trees and stuff.
Yeah, in the fall we get to watch them quite a lot.
I've said it before on this show, but the best wildlife thing I've ever seen is watching flying squirrels. One by one, escape from a tree that my friend was cutting down at the time. Bar none. Nothing even comes close.
Yeah. Graceful.
Graceful, yeah, just cool. I mean, when you watch a flying squirrel climb up and then one by one use their tail as a rudder as they swing through the air through their whiskers, it's pretty funny, man.
That's neat.
And I mean, yeah, when you watch it, you're like, that's not going to work, and it does. You know, they know exactly how high to go up so they can go down and get the angle and then use their tail as a rudder to go back up right at the last second and have a spot they must have thought about, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I wonder if they can glide in the wind and know that and with the wind at their back and gain distance.
I don't know. I'm sure, you know? That's another animal we're going to have to have on the show.
Sure.
Flying squirrels.
We could do a squirrels episode.
Absolutely. Lifespan of a possum. Like their brain, that's extremely small for their size, their lifespan is like nothing compared to other mammals. 2 years max. And even in captivity, these animals only live 4 years. So even without predation, they still don't live long.
That is bizarre to me because it's not like they're an extremely small mammal. It's kind of middle of the road.
They're just kind of stressed out, I guess.
I would expect a 5 to 10 year lifespan in captivity at least.
No, 4 years, man. That's it. So, I mean, they live as long as I don't know what other. I don't even know another animal that lives that long. You know, brook trout are living longer than that.
I know.
Shoot.
I mean, we're looking at like mice kind of range here.
Yeah, seriously. So they have few defenses against predators, but still in captivity, or they're only living 4 years. The predators include owls, bobcat, coyote, fox, and a lot of vehicles. So when you play possum in the middle of traffic, it just does not work.
So the only thing going for them is that they breed a lot, because otherwise, I mean, their reproduction is poor. Their lifespans are short, so it's not looking good to keep this species alive.
Yeah, totally. So historical references. The explorer John Smith, when he wrote in the Map of Virginia in 1608, says, "An possum hath a head like a swine and a tail like a rat, and is of the bigness of a cat. Under her belly she hath a bag, wherein she lodgeth, carrieth, and sucketh her young." So people were remarking about possums in 1608, about that.
Yep.
We no longer say the word lodgeth or carrieth, though. That's kind of interesting. That's fine. We don't need to say those words.
Or bag.
Or bag. Yeah, that's true. Or sucketh her young. Yeah. Human relationship. Possums, they do hang out near humans, as we said before. Garbage, pet food. Well, there's one good thing also about possums. You don't have to fear about rabies. Apparently, the rabies is not carried in possums. Some think it's because they have a lower body temperature. I don't know.
Well, as far as I know, they're just not a vector species.
Right.
Meaning that any mammal, as far as I know, any mammal can contract rabies, but some cannot or don't typically give it because of their life cycles. No reason to kill a possum. I hear it all the time. Oh, I had to kill a possum. It looked rabid or whatever. It's probably just in its defense mode and drooling at you and oozing bile out of its butt and doing what it does. And that's normal behavior for a possum.
Yeah, its defense tactics are just not that good.
So, yeah, you might think it has rabies when it doesn't.
Yeah. The only other animal that's just as easy to kill, is the porcupine, I guess, but only if you're a fisher. I guess the fisher is the only animal that can kind of successfully kill them because of all those quills, but you can walk right up to a porcupine.
Oh, they're not getting away. Yeah. They're not running away from you anyway.
No. So, if you're just tuning in, you listen to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. We've been talking about the possum. That's all I got on possum, man. I'm done.
Okay.
You got anything else on possum?
No, that was it. I wanted to mention the rabies things, and we just covered it.
Yeah. I don't know. What else you got?
On possum or anything?
Anything.
Anything.
It's open show. Open discussion.
I back to squirrels, man. They're good. Underrated. Totally underrated.
I mean, you were talking about the rabbit thing, and like there was some people that are starving if they're eating rabbit because they don't have enough fat.
That could be a show we should get into, maybe. But the protein levels and the fat levels, the importance of fat in diets. And I guess there was this group of people, I heard it on a podcast, and I'm driving. I'm not really paying that close attention. I'm just kind of zoning out, thinking about it. But it's caught my attention too late, and I should have rewound it. But anyway, they were talking about this group of people, a tribe maybe, somewhere in a northern climate. And the whole tribe died one year because they hadn't – I think they were waiting for a migratory mammal of some sort to move through that didn't. Yeah. So all winter long, they had to feed on nothing but snowshoe hare. And there's something was named after them because they all died. Not because of lack of food. There was so much rabbit for them to eat, but because of a lack of dietary supplement. There was no fat. They're too lean and had nothing but protein to eat, and it was malnutritious. They died.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, I mean, we live in a more luxurious society than we used to, but a low-fat diet can be bad if you had no fat, you know?
Yeah, it's a thing. I learned this, too, that tribes that are native people that relied on caribou, one of the first delicacies they ate out of it was the fat that behind the eyeball.
Wow.
Because uncooked, it tasted something like dough, so it had a very pleasant taste, and they wanted that fat immediately.
Organ fat too, right?
Organ meat, absolutely.
Yeah. No kidding. Well, the buck I got last Saturday, surprisingly, usually the does have more fat than the bucks because the bucks start chasing and feeding less, it seems. He had a lot of fat on him. Very thick fat. Yeah.
Well, depending on where you were, there was a lot of food. You know, apples were spotty, but I did find a few areas that were loaded.
Yeah.
I think it was just down in certain valleys. And then acorns, too.
Yeah.
Some trees really rained down some acorns.
The deer fat is not really edible. I mean, you can eat it. I've eaten it before. When I do soap, it makes chitlins. You have to heat up the fat and render it, and some of the meat will come out and whatever. But the fat's not bad. It just has a weird texture. But it makes excellent soap. Really good soap, deer fat.
How do you make it?
Well, first you render the fat, and that's really just means you heat it up, and it basically disinfects it, and you run it through a cheesecloth to remove all the bits of meat and stuff like that.
Right, so you're just purifying the oil.
You just purify it, and then it when it hardens, it's crystal white.
Yep.
It looks really nice. And then, so now you have your fat, and then you add it to lye. And lye, you don't add the fat to the lye, or you don't add the water to the lye. Okay, so you have one separate thing of fat. Right, you heat up the fat to say, I forget, but say it's like 130 degrees or something. Then you have to have your separate lye and water mixture.
Okay.
And this is important to know. The snow falls on the lake. What that means is you put your lye flakes into the water. If you do it the other way around, you could have catastrophe because it reacts with water and could come up and hit you in the eyeball or something. You should have glasses on or something.
Oh.
So you put your lye flakes, you sprinkle them on, and then that heats up big time. It's a chemical reaction.
That's an exothermic reaction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It gets hot, and it does. You should have a dedicated pot for this. Nothing else. Doesn't get used for anything else but lye. And this is why I don't like to do it when the kids are around, because God forbid they ever knock that over. That's a chemical reaction that's occurring on their skin. So then that heats up, and then they have to cool down and be at the same temperature, essentially. You mix them together, and that's when saponification occurs in soap, the magic process of soap occurs.
Wow.
And then you put it into molds, and yeah.
Is that what you use most of the year round?
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I've always wondered, and now I want to learn more. So that in the – oh, I don't know what element, family it is, but there's a family of elements on the periodic table that does react with water. So like potassium, magnesium, and you go down the list, and as you get down the list, it gets more and more reactive. But you can look up videos on YouTube, like anything else, of people throwing chunks of potassium, tossing them from helicopters into lakes and causing these extreme exothermic reactions that it actually explodes and this huge boom, fiery explosion. It looks like you dropped in a like an atomic-style bomb into water.
Yeah.
And it's just from dropping purified sodium, magnesium, potassium, that group of elements. So makes me wonder what's in that lye. It's one of those. It's got to be in it.
Yeah, it's extremely caustic. I don't know, but I don't remember the chemistry exactly, but it's pretty neat. It makes a hard soap, so it'll last a long time, but it's not going to sud like your store-bought soap.
Yeah.
But it lasts a long time. It's something cool that's from the forest, and just one more thing.
Where do you get lye?
You buy it.
Order.
I just bought it online.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's all time we have on From the Forest. And see you next week. It's every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. If you missed this show, it was all about possum.
All right.
So that's all I got. Have a good night.
Oh, the neon lights were flashing and the icy wind did blow. The water seeped into his shoes and the drizzle turned to snow. His eyes were red, his hopes were dead, and the wine was running low. And the old man came home from the forest. His tears fell on the sidewalk as he stumbled in the street. A dozen faces stopped to stare, but no one stopped to speak. For his castle was a hallway, the bottle was his friend, and the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase, the old man made his way, his ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay, and he wondered how it happened that he'd ended up this way. Getting lost like a fool in the forest. And as he lay there sleeping, a vision did appear. Upon his mantle shining, the face of one so dear, who'd loved him in the springtime of a long forgotten year, when the wildflowers did bloom in the forest. She touched his grizzled fingers and she called him by his name. And then he heard the joyful sound of children at their games. In an old house on a hillside in some forgotten town,